In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, October the 22nd. Just one more day in Reformation Week here at Lutheran Public Radio. We're doing a special series with Pastor Stephen Parks every day this week. Part 4 today, the 16th century Reformation and its theology today, really the pinnacle, really the heart and center, really the whole point, Christ alone. Of the great solas of the Reformation, faith alone, scripture alone, grace alone, whatever order you put them in, I've actually seen Luther's seal set up on a plaque with all of the solas minus one around them. It had faith alone, it had grace alone, it had scripture alone. It didn't have Christ alone. I often wondered, what would the 16th century reformers think of that, leaving Christ out of the great solas of the Reformation? We won't do it here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 45 minutes, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Pastor Stephen Parks is a former researcher for the Christian Research Institute, and he's pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver. Stephen, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you again today.
You know, we've talked in the course of our conversation dealing with faith, grace, and Scripture, and there are, of course, Christians who unwittingly or wittingly deny grace alone or faith alone or Scripture alone, but you're not going to find any Christians denying Christ alone, are you?
Well, you most certainly are, and of course, there's more than one way to deny Christ alone. On the one hand, you can just sort of outrightly say it. There's a clip that I know that you play from time to time on this show, or at least had in the past, by I think it was Ted Haggard, who said that we're not so much Christ-focused as we are Bible-focused. And the indication that you're kind of given with citations and statements like that is that the Bible isn't about Christ, at least not from beginning to end in the way in which you and I believe that it is. And so there's an outright denial, but I think what you're going to find more commonly is people who say that they believe in Christ alone, but then really don't talk that much about him. It's a denial by omission, if you will. And I think that's what you're going to find in most churches today. A lot of talk on paper, perhaps, about what they believe in Jesus, but from the pulpit, you don't hear about the Christ. You hear instead a lot about the Christian.
So it is a practical way of denying Christ alone if it is not given its due emphasis. What is the due emphasis for this great sola, Christ alone?
Right. The due emphasis is for the reason of salvation. You know, this is why the Apostle Paul could say in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified." He doesn't say some things, a few things, one or two things, but he says, "I determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified." He is the sum and the substance of Holy Scripture. And as a result of that, he also must be the sum and the substance of Christian proclamation. Why? Because in him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And that means that apart from him, all of the promises of God are no. All that remains apart from Christ is simply threat and punishment. But in Christ, we have grace, forgiveness, and salvation.
Is it really the point? I mean, ultimately, of all these efforts, all these writings, all these treatises, all of this debate in the 16th century, is Christ alone really, you said earlier that it's all about sufficiency. Is the sufficiency of Christ's saving work really what's behind all of this?
Absolutely. It is the main thing that is behind all of the things that we've been talking about all along. You know, we began by talking about sola scriptura, scripture alone. Well, what are the scriptures about? Jesus teaches us in John chapter 5, verse 39, when he says to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these," here meaning the scriptures, "are they which testify of me." So scripture is all about Jesus. Why? Because it's the scriptures which deliver to us Jesus, which tell us about the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of sins which is ours in him. We went on the next day and we talked about sola fide, faith alone. Well, in whom do Christians have faith? Well, we're told in Galatians chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Our faith is only as good, as we said, in the object in whom it is placed. And for Christians, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we spoke at length about sola gratia, grace alone. Well, whose grace is it that we're talking about and extolling? Well, we're told in Acts 15, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Again, Acts chapter 15, verse 11. The very solas itself even reveal who the subject of all of these things are. We talked about sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia. All of those solas talk about through something. Whereas when we talk about the sola, if you will, relating to Christ, it's solus, S-O-L-U-S, Christus. And that is makes Jesus the subject of theology. We're not talking about something through Christ, but we're talking about the Savior himself, his grace and his gifts.
Let's deal with a crass way of denying Christ alone, an obvious way. But sad to say, as obvious as it is quite popular, not only outside the pale of Christianity, but even inside the visible pale of Christianity. And that is to say that Christ is not the only way of salvation, that there are other means by which God permits entrance into eternal life, be it Buddhism, other religions, human efforts. Sometimes they're so bold as to say all roads lead to God. How do we respond biblically to this?
Well, I think, Jesus himself gives us the answer to that, and he tells us in John chapter 14, beginning at the first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he goes on in the sixth verse to say these very important words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. That means that Muhammad and Zoroaster and Buddha and all the other alleged prophets from other religions simply don't have what it takes to get us to the Father. Why is that? Because they're sinful human beings. They are not the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus Christ, God himself in human flesh, who lived a perfect life, keeping all of God's laws in his thoughts and in his words and in his deeds, who died to take upon himself the punishment that you and me and the entire world deserve for having broken God's law, and who rose again from the dead in order to bring us into his kingdom and in order to keep us there. Those individuals are false teachers. At the very best, they could only point you to the one who is the way and the truth and the life, just as the Jewish prophets did in the Old Testament. But for us, we don't have one who stands as a peer amongst other prophets. We stand as the one, we have one who stands as the God and the Lord and the Redeemer of the prophets.
How do you respond to someone who says it is just simply arrogant to assert? I mean, to assert that is to essentially say you alone, those who trust in Christ for salvation, alone have access to this truth, and that somehow you've been able to discover the mind of God, and you are it is the height of arrogance to assert that there is only one way of salvation, yeah. Even if it is this good guy, Jesus.
Yeah. I think we could turn it around on him and say, no, my friend, I'm sorry, but it's the height of arrogance to think that you know more about salvation and that you know more about how to get to the Father than does the eternal Son of God, God himself incarnate, Jesus in human flesh. Now, if it were just up to me, I may very well believe in many modes of salvation and many paths to God, etc. But I'm not God. I'm not the one who reveals myself to humanity. It's not me who has discovered the mind of God, but it's God who has revealed his heart and his mind in the pages of Holy Scripture. And in those scriptures, God reveals to us Christ. He reveals to us our Savior. He reveals to us the salvation that is to be found in him. How prideful it is to take a look at that gift and to reject it simply because, as we said, it feels too narrow for us. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who find it. So there's going to be many who try to enter by the broad gate and instead find destruction. There will be few who enter through the narrow gate, that is, through Jesus himself, and it's only there that eternal life is to be found.
We've got about a minute before we take a break, and use that minute, if you would, as briefly as possible to simply explain, when we say Christ alone, who is this Christ of which we speak?
When we talk about Christ alone, we talk about Jesus, who is both the one true God, but also, and at the same time now also, a very real man. So he's one person with two natures. He's the very one spoken about in the creeds. He's the very one who was prophesied in the Old Testament, even as he himself was the God who prophesied his own coming in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, there he is as God in human flesh, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our King, the one who by his mercy saves us and by his mercy keeps us unto life everlasting.
When we come back from this break, I want to tease apart something that Pastor Park said a few minutes ago. And that is, there are subtle ways to deny Christ alone. And sometimes even those who say we believe in Christ alone in what they preach, practice, pray, sing, well, don't have much to say about them. And you begin to wonder, do they really believe it if they don't have much to say about Christ alone? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's Thursday afternoon, October the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll give away a great booklet titled Christ Alone, written by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, to listeners with the best questions or comments. Our call-in number on this Thursday afternoon, October the 22nd, 1-877-623-6943. Giving away this booklet by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt called Christ Alone, 1-877-623-6943. You can email us as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us with questions or comments right here in the studio at Issues ETC, 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at Issues ETC. Stay tuned.
A great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A disturbing trend.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The number of abortions performed in America after falling in 2008 increased significantly in the early months of 2009, maybe as much as 10%. Why? The economy. Abortion providers interviewed by the Associated Press said many of their clients cited economic worries when explaining why they were seeking an abortion. In some instances, they said couples who had purposefully conceived later decided to abort the pregnancy because the father of the child had lost his job. Some mothers said they could barely pay their rent and utility bills and therefore could not afford a child. More next time.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. to join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Reformation Week here on Issues Etc., part four of our five-part daily series on the 16th century Reformation and its theology, Christ Alone, with Pastor Stephen Parks. Pastor Parks, you said before that in churches where they will, if asked, assert that Christ is the only way of salvation, they will affirm Christ alone for all that it means, and yet in what they say, sing, pray, they do spend a lot of time talking about the Christian rather than the Christ. What's going on here?
Well, I think ultimately it reveals not only a discontinuity in what you say you believe, but it reveals really what you believe in your heart, or what you don't believe in your heart. And namely, it reveals a lack of trust in Jesus and in his saving gospel. You know, the worry that comes up time and time again, and this is true in confessional Lutheran circles as well as other heirs of the Reformation, is that, you know, if we just continue to preach Christ and him crucified, if we talk primarily about his mercy, if his grace is our focal point and the forgiveness of sins, which is in Jesus, is the main thing that we talk about, then people are going to get lazy. And they're not going to do the things that God calls them to do in their word. So yes, we're going to talk about the gospel. It most certainly will come up. But what we really have to do is we have to focus on what it is that God calls us to do, to be faithful servants of Christ. So the question arises, does the Bible have certain things that it calls us to do? Absolutely. But how do we do them? And the answer is we do them empowered by Jesus himself. And how does he empower us? Through his saving gospel. So the gospel does the very thing, the very opposite of the thing that you would think that it does, and namely, it prods us, and it causes us to be grateful for everything that Jesus has given us in his name. And as a result of that, we want to serve him. You know, it'd be like a trillionaire who comes out of nowhere, pays off all of your debt, and gives you enough money and much more even above and beyond that to live the rest of your life. What would your first indications or what would your first desires be toward that person? I can hardly wait to stab them in the back and tell lies about them and yada, yada. No, of course not. Your desire would be to be grateful to that person. But you see, in the Christian faith, even that isn't the very last word. The law isn't the last word. Rather, the gospel is the last word. The final word that our God speaks to us is one of grace and mercy and forgiveness won for us by Christ. And ultimately, the human heart is simply unable to believe that. And the old Adam within us rebels against it. And even those of us who say that we believe it still struggle with it on a daily basis. Because that's true. It's not surprising that we find churches that are in the same position.
When someone, and we've talked about this in previous installments of our conversation, when someone says, well, it is faith plus works, or it is grace, God's grace given to me plus what I do subsequent to grace, or something like that, when they put the little plus sign instead of the alone after whatever part of this formula we're talking about, are these also subtle ways of denying Christ alone, striking at the very heart of this formula?
Subtle ways, or perhaps even not so subtle ways, because ultimately they all say Christ isn't enough. You know, if we want to talk about Scripture not being enough, you know, it has to be supplemented by human wisdom or human intuition or human traditions or what have you. No, Jesus is the God who gave us the Holy Scriptures, and he gave us those Scriptures to teach us about himself and to communicate to us himself and all of his saving benefits. And because he is the one who gave it and he knows the reason for which he gave it, it's enough. We talked about faith alone. Well, again, in whom do we place our faith? We place it in Christ. You know, to say that faith alone is not enough is to say that the work of Christ, which is the benefits of which are received through faith alone, is to say that the work of Christ simply is not alone, or when we not enough or not sufficient. When we talk about grace alone, well, what is this thing, grace? Well, it's God's favor, and it's God's favor that has been merited for us by Christ. So to say that grace simply isn't enough is to say that what Jesus did and what he accomplished for us in his life, death, and resurrection simply isn't enough. It needs to be supplemented with our own human efforts. So in order to say that Scripture, faith, and grace are not alone, ultimately is simply enough to say that Jesus himself alone is not enough. In other words, it just calls into question the sufficiency of Christ and him alone.
Is it even more dangerous if Christ is preached but not as he ought to be preached? That is, instead of, as Paul would say, Christ crucified, this is now Christ example, Christ life coach, Christ renovator. of your life, Christ, advisor, financial advisor, marriage advisor, whatever it may be. I mean, you can find all sorts of Christs being preached out there.
That's absolutely right. You know, it makes me think of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he encourages pastors to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so if it's possible to rightly divide the word of truth, well, then of course we know that it's also possible to wrongly divide the word of truth. When I was in seminary, Dr. Fickenscher, who I know you've had on the show a number of times, used to give this analogy. And he would say that that rightly dividing the word of truth and preaching Christ from the scriptures is like cutting a diamond. We all know how valuable diamonds are, but what very few of us know is the process that goes into cutting these diamonds. And it's a very detailed thing, and jewelers are very, very careful about it. Why? Because if they split it wrong, if they cut it wrongly, they're going to destroy the value of the whole thing. There is a way in order to preach about the scriptures and even talk about the things that scripture itself talks about without getting to the heart of the matter. This is precisely the error of the Pharisees. You better believe that they knew their scriptures. You better believe they knew all the Bible stories in the Old Testament. I mean, many of the Pharisees had most of the Old Testament memorized. But what was it that they were missing? Well, they were missing the very thing that the scriptures were about, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If he isn't the main theme of our preaching, then our preaching might as well be about Aesop's fables. Or as Luther said, we might as well be preaching just the ethics of Aristotle. Without Christ, we don't have Christianity.
But if a preacher is presenting Christ primarily, if not sometimes, and I've heard it consistently, exclusively, at least in what they overtly say, as moral instructor, or nowadays it's probably more popular to talk about, you know, he's kind of coaching us through this, very encouraging coach he is. Shows you how, and then, man, does he get behind you and root for you. Does that Christ save?
Absolutely not. Jesus didn't come to be a life coach. Jesus didn't come to be a new Moses of sorts who simply gives us more commandments, and he certainly didn't come just to give us some homespun wisdom to follow in order to have a better life. Jesus himself tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. His primary office is a saving office, the one as Savior. And if we don't talk about that, we're doing people a grand injustice. You know, let's imagine that I was pastor of a megachurch and there were 30,000 people who were in this congregation. And week in and week out, I quoted to them the Bible. I gave them moral principles. I'd even told them how important the Bible was. And when I mentioned Jesus, I mentioned him as sort of a life coach or one who wants you to have your best life now or what have you. In each of those cases, I may be saying things that are true, but I'm not preaching the truth that God calls me to preach. And I'm not preaching the one truth that saves, and that is Jesus Christ crucified and risen again for your sins. And so if I had a congregation like that, I would not only have 30,000 parishioners, but I'd have 30,000 unbelievers on my hands.
That's a pretty bold statement there.
Well, it is bold, but we have to remember, you know, where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10, verse 10, or Romans chapter 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. And the context there is a missionary context. That is, what message is it that we're called to preach? We're called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, his saving gospel. That is the thing that creates faith. And so if there are any of those 30,000 parishioners in my congregation that are Christians, it's because they're reading the Bible and finding Christ on their own. It's not because they found him in my preaching. If I'm not preaching Christ as Savior, I'm not really preaching Christ at all.
So are you saying that in congregations where this is the consistent Sunday in, Sunday out message that omits Christ alone or assumes it, those Christians who exist there on account of that preaching, well, not on account of it, they exist there in spite of what that church is preaching and teaching?
That's exactly what I'm saying. There have been some recent studies that have shown this. You know, I think of, for example, New Spring Church, which is pastored by Perry Noble. They recently did a study. And in that study, they asked questions about what people believed about God and the Bible and Jesus and so forth. And I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but it was somewhere between 40 and 50% of the people in the congregation didn't believe that you had to believe in Christ in order to be saved, and they thought that ultimately the difference between them and somebody who went to hell was their own works. They believed they were saved by what they did. That is an unbeliever. I don't care where you find them on Sunday morning. I don't care how nicely dressed they are, and I don't care how many Bible verses they know. If they don't know Christ and they don't know him as their Savior, then they don't know what true Christianity is, and by definition, they're unbelievers.
Folks, we're talking Christ alone during Reformation Week here on Issues, Etc. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or Twitter us right here in the studio, @IssuesETC. We're also giving away the booklet Christ Alone by Rod Rosenblatt to listeners with the best questions or comments, so give us a call with a question or a comment. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, talkback@IssuesETC.org, or Twitter us @IssuesETC. This is Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of October. We'll continue Reformation Week and conclude it tomorrow, talking with Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, about the Reformation today. 1-877-623-6943, talkback@IssuesETC.org, or Twitter us @IssuesETC. Well, there are some bold statements there. And if Pastor Parks is to be believed, and I think he is to be believed, it's a pretty dire state for the church today. Having abandoned Christ alone, if not in principle, most certainly in practice, how many churches are filled with unbelievers who, even more tragically, are under the mistaken notion that they are Christians? What do they need to hear? How do they need to be communicated to them so that these unbelievers supposing themselves to be Christians can be, in fact, Christians? We'll talk about that after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, click Find a Church. Folks, here's a great way you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program for our listeners. There are four levels of support for the Reformation Club. It begins with the Confessor, $25 a month or $250 a year. Then there's the Apologist, $50 a month, $500 a year. the reformer, $100 a month, $1,000 a year, or the patron, that's $200 a month or $2,000 a year. Now, you can find out more about the Reformation Club, about how you join at the level of the confessor, the apologist, the reformer, or the patron, by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate, and you'll find all the information you need right there. And if you do want to join, and we certainly do want you to, you can email Craig and ask him about it. He'll help you through it. Craig@issuesetc.org, Craig@issuesetc.org. You can also give Craig a call if you prefer. His number is 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Remember, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's back this Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. Pastor Parks, we've kind of diagnosed the problem here, and that is a startling thought, to consider that there are churches, big and small, but churches full of people who may well not be Christians, but suppose themselves to be Christians. In fact, it reminded me of a survey that I saw within the Lutheran circle, Pan-Lutheran survey of Lutheran lay people, and this was done about 10 years ago, a little bit more. One of the survey questions was, what is the gospel? It was multiple choice in its answer. And the vast majority of those who responded, Lutherans, people who go to church and that, in Lutheran churches, the vast majority, I think plus 60%, said that the gospel is God's rules for right living. It's a pretty dire circumstance here.
Extremely dire circumstance. You know, I wasn't just trying to be hyperbolic or controversial in saying that if you have a big or a small church, and in that big or small church you don't preach Jesus, then you're going to have a congregation of unbelievers. We don't generate faith by ourselves. Faith is a gift that God gives to us in Christ through His Word. And we don't continue to maintain that faith by ourselves, but it continues to be maintained by God Himself through His gospel promises as they come to us in the Word and the sacraments. And so if in that word we point people away from Christ and we instead point them to themselves, then what does their object of faith become? Well, the object of their faith becomes themselves. That's not a believer in the biblical sense of the term. You know, you were talking about a survey. I mentioned one earlier. There's another one that was done by Willow Creek, which, as you well know, is kind of one of the leading church growth churches in the nation. And one of the things that they discovered is that the people in their congregation knew very, very little about the Bible, even the basic Bible stories from the Old Testament, you know, David and Goliath and all these other things. And yet the thing that they had concluded, even from those who were more mature in the Scriptures and whose constant worry about the congregation was that it didn't have deep enough Bible preaching and teaching, what they concluded, instead of thinking to themselves, well, boy, maybe these people have a point and we really need to be more serious about teaching the Word, what they concluded instead was people need to become self-feeders. They need to be able to read the Bible for themselves and learn about Jesus. Now, that's certainly true. We can encourage our parishioners to do that. But to say that they need to become self-feeders if they want more in-depth preaching or teaching is basically tantamount to saying, look, if you want to hear about Jesus and you want to learn about Him, then go home and do it, because it's not going to happen here. And that's a tragedy. That's not a Christian church by any stretch of the imagination to say things like that.
Sean is calling from his car. Sean, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, I've got a question. You know, how do you convince someone who thinks they're a Christian, you know, maybe someone who's close to you, a relative or a friend, how do you talk to them and tell them that they're really, what they're involved in is not at all Christianity?
Wow, that's a great question. Goes right along with our conversation here, Pastor Parks. What's your best answer?
You know, one of the things that I encourage people to do, and this is really kind of life-changing for somebody who thinks that they believe in Christ alone, but who doesn't hear much about Him, is simply compare the sermon of your pastor from the past Sunday to the sermons that are preached in the New Testament. Just use the book of Acts for an example, and go through it and see if it's the same kind of thing. What you're going to find is that in the New Testament, what you're going to find is people preaching about Jesus Christ, His cross, His blood, His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. You're not going to find the apostles preaching about how to manage your shekels. You're not going to find the apostles preaching about how best to get along with your co-workers and your Zeus-worshipping neighbor. You're going to find them preaching about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the main theme of their sermons. And then ask your neighbor or your friend that you're speaking with, is this the main theme of the sermon that you're hearing? Any Christian worth their salt is at some point or another going to mention Jesus. But is he presented as Savior? Is he presented as the Redeemer of lost sinners? If not, then you're not really hearing a particularly Christian sermon. You know, a good friend of mine who's a pastor in the area, someone who you've had on a number of times, Pastor Wolfmuller, he read me this sermon that was preached by a Muslim. And all he did is he replaced the word Allah with the word God, and he replaced the word Quran with the word Scriptures. And you wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. He asked me, where was this preached? And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between an evangelical sermon and the sermon by this Muslim. Now, that should tell us something. A Christless sermon is no Christian sermon at all.
Someone says, but you misunderstand the context here, Pastor Parks. We assume that the people coming to us in the thousands every Sunday know what you've been talking. That's very important, what you've talked about, but we assume that they know this. We assume them to be Christians. Well, I guess we call them seekers or the unchurched, but we assume that they know this, so we don't need to constantly repeat it to them.
You know, assuming the gospel is perhaps the most dangerous thing that you can possibly do. Why? Because if there's even one person in that room who doesn't know the gospel, they're going to miss out on the blessings that God desires to give to them in His word. You know, you can't simply assume the gospel. The Scriptures don't do it. I mean, Jesus is the sum and the substance of all of Scripture, as we said, from Genesis to Revelation. And so as a result, He needs to be the sum and the substance of our biblical preaching. When you look at the apostles, they didn't cease preaching Christ just because they knew, for example, that so many of those people in their in their congregations and so on, and in the places that they preach already knew about it. I mean, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for example, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." Now, he knew that they were Christians already, and yet what was his desire? To go there to preach the gospel to them. Because it's not simply the power of God unto salvation for those who at first believe, but it remains the power of God unto salvation for us Christians throughout our entire lives, because that's the means through which God strengthens our faith, points us to Jesus, and gives us the gifts that are ours in Him.
All right, you got less than a minute. This part of the series has been yours, and it's your chance to wrap it up. How do we find comfort in all of this? Christ alone. Less than a minute, Pastor Parks.
Jesus is the source of comfort because He is our life and He is our salvation. He's our peace with God, and it's through Him that we receive eternal life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Now, where's the comfort in that? The comfort is that those things aren't to be found in you. They're not to be found in your performance. They're not to be found in your following after Jesus or your internal transformation, but they're found in Him and in His promise alone. Now, when we look to Christ, that means we look away from ourselves. His promises are sure and certain because His work is finished and complete, and He Himself is sure and certain.
Pastor Stephen Parks is a former researcher for the Christian Research Institute, pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver, and a very generous man with his time, giving us an hour all 4 days of this series so far here on Issues, Etc. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Anytime. God's blessings to you.
Folks, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is a great Reformation resource. It's called the Lutheran Study Bible. Its scholarship is drawn straight from the very best of the Reformation and before, and it's reformational in its devotional material, too. It is, I dare say that and I don't think I'm overstating the case to say that the Lutheran Study Bible is part of the ongoing Reformation. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the program, the ongoing Reformation taking place in the church by the same means, the Word of God, centered upon Christ and Him crucified for sinners. Find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll discuss the Reformation today. There's an old saying, semper reformanda, that is, always Reformation. We'll see what it means with Dr. Lawrence White tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Sean, give us a call back and give us your mailing address. We're going to send you the booklet, Christ Alone, by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. It's the only comfort there is. It isn't just greatly comforting. It isn't just more comforting than something else. Take Christ away and there is no comfort. We are left hopeless, helpless, and ultimately without God. For apart from Jesus, and this is what he means when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Apart from Jesus, we are cut off from our Creator. Worse than that, we are not only cut off, we are left in hostility. We are left alien to him. But with Christ, with all he has done for us, with his saving work for us that we need to remember and proclaim and preach and sing and pray every day, not just every Sunday, with Christ, we have it all, everything he purchased for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.